All right, now I want you to come back tonight, and because my wife didn't even sing a solo today, and she's the best singer by far. But I'm running out of time. I've got a message I want to deliver to you, and we'll start in the Gospel of John. But I want you to please come back.
Dismissed for Children's Church. Does Children's Church be dismissed? Who has Children's Church this morning? Brother John, thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you. Sorry about that, brother. Go ahead.
I want you to come. My wife sings some solos, and she sings. We have some songs where she sings the lead on, and I want you to be sure and hear her. In fact, I hope everybody will come back tonight. You know, Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is not just the Lord's morning. Sunday's the Lord's day. And I like this little poem someone wrote. I love the church that Jesus bought. She is the dark world's light. I always go on Sunday morn, but not on Sunday night. I love to sing the gospel songs and worship in daylight. That's why I come on Sunday morn, but not on Sunday night. I love to hear the gospel preached. It gives me such delight. It thrills me every Sunday morn, but not on Sunday night. I hope the faithful few keep on engaging in the fight. I'll do my part on Sunday morn, but not on Sunday night. I know that Christ is coming soon, and He will find me right if He comes on Sunday morn, but not on Sunday night. The Holy Spirit sent this poem, and it set my heart aright. You'll see me there next Sunday morning, and you'll see me on Sunday night. I hope that poem helps you some too. If you are only a Sunday morning Christian, let's have a revival. And every church that's like that, we've traveled now for 16 years, and every church is like that. There'll be fewer on Sunday night than there will be on Sunday morning. And people who just don't see the importance of being in the house of the Lord Sunday morning and Sunday night. But I hope tonight everybody will come back. I pray that you will. I'm going to be praying that everybody will be back and try to bring somebody with you. I hope you'll do that. I said in Sunday school that I love Louisiana. I love Cajuns. I love Cajun cooking. I love to be around Louisiana people. We used to go to a church. We're going to start today in John chapter number 11. We used to go to a church in down below Morgan City in Patterson. How many of you have ever been to Patterson? Or at least you know where Patterson is. We got people here don't even know where Patterson is. Well, it's almost underwater. It's about as far as you can go down below Morgan City. There is a town there named Patterson and a good church there. And we used to go to that church every year, just about every year, for revival. They, in that church, they have got their very own alligator hunter in that church. Now, I hope you're not an animal rights activist today, but they've got an alligator hunter in that church, and he took us out in his boat. Not to hunt alligators. I don't want any part of that. But he took us out, and he showed us alligators right down in the bayous, and we absolutely loved it. They took us out at night, and we saw all these little red lights all around the sides of the bayous. They were not lights. They were eyeballs. And I said, what are those? They said, alligators. I mean, that place was infested with alligators. They were everywhere. But we loved every minute of it. We enjoyed the Louisiana people, and we are so glad that we finally got invited back to Louisiana. Turn with me now. We're in John chapter 11, and I want to preach a message today. I want to preach a message called, and you know, many times you hear preachers preach about this, wait on the Lord. And I preach that myself, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. The Bible says if you'll wait on the Lord, He'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. And the great promises if we'll wait on the Lord. But I want to preach this morning about God waiting on man. God waiting on us. And you say, Brother Epley, what do you mean? Let me just explain. We'll start out in John chapter 11. I'll ask you to stand, if you will, stand with me. And I want you to know I'm aware of the time, and I'm aware what time you normally get out, and I'm not about to hold you overtime this morning, because some of you would use that as an excuse not to come back tonight and say that preacher preaches too long. I won't do that. We won't go into overtime. But I'm going to have to preach about 70 miles an hour with gusts up to 90 to get this message out today. So you listen intently today. John chapter 11, and you know the story of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, the brother of Mary and Martha, he's dead. Jesus did not come when they asked him to come. They thought he was late. But somebody wrote a song that said, even when he's 4 days late, he's right on time. Amen. And he came, he had something better in mind than healing Lazarus of a sickness. Jesus is going to do something greater than that. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Something even greater. And my friend, could I say to you, sometimes you ask God to do something. Sometimes it seems like the answer just won't come. Listen, God, just because the answer is delayed, that does not mean it's been denied. God may be about to do something greater than you've asked him to do. God may have something in his plan that is far beyond what you even asked him to do. And here, he's about to perform a miracle. And there's going to be a part here that only God can do, and that is to raise the dead. But there's a part here that man can do, a human being could do, and that is found in verse number 39. If you're looking at chapter 11 and verse 39, say amen. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Let's bow for prayer now. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for this King James Bible that we can trust and know that every word of God is preserved for us in this wonderful Bible. And Lord, what we have just read, we can be assured that it is absolutely true. There was a man named Lazarus. He did die. He was laid in a tomb. But Lord, you raised him from the dead. And now, Lord, as I preach this message from the Word of God, I pray that you would open our eyes and help us to see different situations when you, Lord, are actually waiting upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing. Let me give you another proof. Let me develop this first. Jesus said, take away the stone. He's about to raise the dead. But he says something to the men that are standing there, says, take away the stone. And so, now, I believe everybody here would agree with me today. Jesus is God. Could you say amen? Jesus is God. And Jesus Christ created everything. John tells us that. John 1 and Colossians tells us that. Jesus created everything. He's God. He's God the Son. I'm glad today that I believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says these three are one. And Jesus Christ, who is God, is standing here, and just for a moment, God is waiting on man. He's waiting. He's waiting for them to roll that stone away, something they could do. And then he's about to do the impossible, what only God can do. Thank God they do roll the stone away, and then God says, Lazarus, come forth. Let me give you another one, and that is found in John chapter 21. If you'll turn over to John chapter 21, the disciples went out and they fished all night. I'm not sure what bayou they were in, but they were out, they were fishing all night, and they caught nothing. Now, let me remind you, they're professional fishermen. They are professionals. They know how to fish. But that night, they could not catch a fish. They couldn't do it. But in the morning, there was a man standing on the bank. And they looked over to this man. The man hollered out and said, "Children," we're in John 21, verse number 5, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And I believe that was a very, very discouraging word there, "No. We haven't caught anything." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. After they had fished all night, one word from the master saying, "Take your net and just move it a few feet away to the other side of the boat and drop it down and you'll find the fish." And so there Jesus, who is God, is standing on the bank and he's telling these men what to do. And now it's up to them. Now God's waiting on man. God knows where the fish are. God can bring those fish right into the net. But he's waiting on them to do what? Obey. Obey. And when they do, they put that net on the other right, on the right side, and it fills up with fish. And John looks at Peter and says, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And they obeyed him, and they saw a miracle. Now, I want to preach to you about some ways that God waits on us. I want to make sure that I say this. I don't want to run out of time. But in the matter of salvation, I want to tell you today, God has done everything that God can do. God has done everything. God gave his only begotten Son. God sent Jesus down here. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus wore the crown of thorns. Jesus took the Roman whipping with that cat of nine tails. The Lord Jesus took that cross and went to Calvary. The Lord Jesus laid down on the cross while they nailed his hands and nailed his feet to that cross and lifted him up in the air. Jesus did all that. And he said, "It is finished." He paid the price for our sins. And now God is saying, "Come unto me, come unto me, come to me, and I'll give you salvation." And in the matter of salvation, if you're here today and you're not saved, he's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to come. I don't know what you might be waiting on, but I want to say to you, my friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. There will not be a second chance. There is not a place called purgatory. When people die, they go to heaven or they go to hell. And if you're waiting for something, a feeling or whatever you might be waiting on, you better stop waiting and just come to Jesus and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm lost. I need you to save me." And my friend, like the song says, he'll give you something that is real. He'll give you something that'll not only take you to heaven, but give you some heaven on earth down here. He'll give you something that'll change your life. You can become a new creature. He'll make you a better man, a better woman, a better teenager, a better child. And I don't know, everybody in here might be saved. I don't know. But if you're here today and you're not saved, don't wait too long. God's waiting on you to come. And I want to say this too. If you're not 100% sure that you're saved, you better make sure. If you're not 100% sure, I heard a young lady give a testimony at a graduation not long ago, and she said, "I prayed a prayer when I was a child, but," she said, "I grew up not really being sure that I was saved." And she said, "A man came to our church and preached, and he said, 'You don't want to die 80% sure that you're going to heaven. You don't want to face eternity only 80% sure. You don't want to even face eternity 90% sure.'" My friend, you better be 100% sure that you're washed in the blood, trusting Jesus and him alone, and born again, ready to go to heaven. God waiting on man. Here's a very simple way. If you'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, a very, very simple way that God waits on us, and God will do the miraculous if we will do this. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, if you're there, say amen. If you're not there yet, say wait a minute, and I'll wait for you. All right. It says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, I've seen the direction of God. I've seen the leadership of God. I've seen God lead me, and I'll tell you, my friend, there have been times in my life God has led me, and I didn't know he was leading. There have been times in my life I was not sure what was happening, but God was leading me. And then I look back and I say, yeah, Jesus led me all the way. But my friend, there's something God waits on us to do before he gives us that divine direction. He's waiting on us to trust him, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not to lean to our own understanding. Now, I don't know about you, but that scares me a little bit, because it's so easy to lean to your own understanding. It's so easy to think, I can figure this out, and I've got this figured out. I know what to do, and lean to your own understanding. But we need to remember, the Bible says our ways are not his ways. And we need to constantly pray for the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Pray, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. And I have to pray, say, Lord, help me to trust in you with all my heart. Help me to trust you, dear Lord. Matter of fact, I prayed that prayer last night before I went to bed. I went to bed a little after 11 o'clock last night. And I do appreciate the prophet's chamber and appreciate the ones that fixed it up for us and cleaned it up for us. I appreciate that. And somebody left us some food. Boy, I tell you, I'm from Kentucky. I like food. And I appreciate whoever did that. But about 11 o'clock or so, I was sort of in a room, and Brother Fleshman will know what I'm talking about. You preachers, any other preachers, you know, you're just seeking God. You're saying, Lord, what do you want me to preach? I mean, as an evangelist, I have a lot of messages. I have a lot of outlines. But you know what? If God's not in it, it's just words on a piece of paper. I don't want just an outline. I want a message from God. I want what God has for that moment. And so I'm seeking God. But I was so tired. We drove all day. And I said, dear Lord, I've just got to trust you that when I get up in the morning, I'll get up early, but I trust you, Lord, to show me what to preach. I did not know. I didn't have it settled what to preach. But I'm happy to tell you, I got up early this morning, and I went into one of those Sunday school rooms over there, and I got on my knees. I tell you, it was a little bit chilly. I had to wrap a towel around me. It was a little bit chilly this morning. And I got on my knees, and God met with me. God came. God gave me that direction I was looking for. I just had that sweet peace, Brother Fleshman. You know what it is? That sweet peace that settles down in your soul. And I knew that God was leading me. And I believe today, I honestly believe I'm giving you the message that I have other messages I think I'd rather preach. But this is what I believe God wants this morning. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Pray about everything. Just keep one eye toward God as you go through life, and acknowledge him in every decision that you make, and God will do something wonderful. He'll direct your paths. He'll direct your path. Brother, he'll show you when to move and when not to move. Amen. He'll direct your paths. And that's a wonderful thing, to be directed by God, because God's eye sees everything. And he said in the book of Psalms, I will guide thee with mine eye. And I want God's eye to guide me. But I've got to trust in him. He's waiting on me to trust him and acknowledge him and not lean to my own understanding. Let me give you another way. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And I believe here we see an instance where God is waiting on man. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And verse number 14. Notice this. And we all really should take notice of this, my friend, especially when we consider what a condition that our country is in right now. We're a sick nation. We are sin sick. I mean, like Isaiah said to the Israelites in his day, from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, we're sick in America. We're sick with sin. And we ought to take heed to this verse. I know it may seem like this is so familiar, it doesn't have any effect anymore, but I pray the Spirit of God would take it into our hearts. If my people which are called by my name. That's you, my friend. That's me, Christian people today. We're called by the name of Christ. He said, if they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Notice that word then. I have that circled in my Bible. Then. It's a hinge. The rest of the verse hinges on the first part of that verse. Then God says, if you'll do your part, if you'll do what man can do, then I will do what only God can do. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God says, I can do that. I will do that. But first, there's something I'm waiting on you to do, and that is humble yourself and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. God says, I'm waiting on you. God Almighty is waiting on us to humble ourselves. Here in America today, we all know we're in trouble. And I hope everybody in here today knows politics is not the answer. Oh, I'm going to vote. You better believe I'll vote. And I've got some that I definitely prefer over others when I vote for the president this next time. And I believe I'd vote for just about anybody in the world other than the one we have. But besides that, I've got some preferences, but politics is not the answer. And you know, as much as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and others like them, as much as they seem to love this country, and as much as they are right about many things, but my friend, actually, they do not have the answer. They do not have the answer of what's going to turn the tide. They think conservatism will turn the tide. My friend, it's going to take more than that. It's going to take God's people. God's eye is not so much today on the White House as it is on this church house, looking at us today, the people of God, and the fate of this nation lies in the hands of the people of God. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek the face of God, God can heal our land. And notice it starts out with humility. It starts out with us humbling ourselves. My friend, don't be afraid. Don't be hesitant to get down on your knees. There's something about getting on your knees. I know there may be someone here today physically unable to get on your knees. But I'm telling you, when you get on your knees, you're in good company. The Lord Jesus himself knelt down, even fell on his face and prayed. Paul knelt down and prayed. Daniel knelt down and prayed. Solomon knelt down and prayed. And all through the Bible, you'll find that if there's something humbling about that, when you bow the knee before God and call upon the Lord, humble yourselves. Get rid of the old pride. God says, I hate pride. I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. And if we're going to have a revival, it'll be by grace. Boy, I better hurry up and finish preaching. I just saw a man yawning like he meant business. But stay with me now. If you have to, slap yourself. Wake yourself up. Or reach over and slap somebody next to you. But stay awake now. Listen. Revival is at stake here. Now, I'd love to see a national revival. I know you would too. I'd love to see God sweep this country as he has before. But I don't see any signs of it, do you? I don't see signs of that, but I still believe God could do it. And I want to see a church revival. I want to see, and I believe this, I believe a church can have continual revival. It seems to me, and I don't want to be prejudiced, but the church I attend up in Iowa, boy, when we meet there, it just seems like God meets with us every time. And our choir gets up and sings, and there's something in the air, and there's just liberty to preach, and souls are being saved and baptized, and lives are being changed, and the room is filled with young people and young couples, and something's going on. And it's because 43 years ago, a man of God named Larry Brown from North Carolina was led of God to start a church with five families, and they were not even Baptist. He led them. They were Mennonites and just church people, Christian church people, and he led them to start the Marion Avenue Baptist Church, and God has blessed. He paid the price. He fasted, and he prayed, and he stayed, and he kept going when he felt like quitting, And now God has raised up a church there. We run 10 buses and pick up boys and girls. And you know, I understand maybe more of that used to go on here. But can I just say God can do it again? God can do it again. I would have hoped I'd have got more amens on that. God can do it again. Some of you men, would you ask your wife if you can say amen? Would you ask her if it's all right to say amen? I could use some amens. I really could. It's good to say amen. It adds to the service. Some of you women, if the men won't do it, go ahead and you women say amen. But I'm telling you, we need revival. I want to see a national revival. I want to see a church revival. But as the pastor said a while ago, if that doesn't happen, you can still have personal revival. You can be revived in your heart. You can be revived in your home. You can have a revival in your home life, in your own life. But it starts right here. God's waiting on us to humble ourselves and pray. Have you been asking God to send a revival? Have you really been earnestly praying, Lord, send a revival? Have you gotten on your knees and God knows your heart is humble and God knows you've confessed your sins? You see, it's good to pray, but we need to remember there are things that hinder prayer. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If there's sin in your life and you know it's there and you let it stay there, God won't hear your prayers. Oh, He hears everything. He sees everything, but He won't answer your prayers. If you regard iniquity in your heart, if you have an attitude in your heart that's not right and you let it stay there, if you have some secret sin, and I believe, Sergeant, more than ever before in the history of America, that God, that even God's people are living with secret sins in their life. Because now you can have all kinds of sin if you just own a phone. That's all. You don't have to go out to some wicked place. You don't have to go out and risk being exposed to see pornography anymore. No, it can come right where you are. And I believe with all my soul that there are men and some women that are hooked, mainly men, hooked on pornography, that are even sitting in our church pews. And sometimes we wonder, where's the Spirit of God? What's happening? What's grieved the Spirit of God? But I'm telling you, secret sins got to be confessed and forsaken. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible says if our motive is not right, God does not answer our prayers. The Bible says if things are not right between husband and wife, over in 1 Peter, if things are not right between a husband and his wife, your prayers are hindered. The Bible says unbelief. We can't expect God to answer if we have unbelief. And, of course, pride hinders our prayers. But I hope you've been praying. But if you haven't been, I pray that this will be a call to you today to pray this afternoon. Pray before you come to the service. Pray tonight after church. Pray when you get up in the morning. Gather your family together and pray. And get down on your knees and say, God, send a revival. Whatever it takes, dear Lord, send a revival. And God can do it. And I believe God wants to do it. But I believe God is waiting on us.